Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
John. We're going to continue our series on 1 John called Vital Signs, Evidence of True Discipleship. Last week, Pastor Dell taught on the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1, and basically in that we saw that God is the Word of life. He is eternal life. Jesus was with the Father. He has been manifested on this earth. He was fully God. He is fully man. Dell also shared that we need to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and that we might have fullness of joy. So our text today is going to be from 1 John 1, verse 5 through chapter 2 and verse 2. And we're going to talk about fellowship with God is walking in the light. So let's read that. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. John says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ourselves only, but also for the whole world." Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word, that you would seal it in our hearts by your Spirit. And Father, that today as we look at your word over the next few minutes, that you would do something in our hearts. Because, Father, our desire today is to have good, lasting fellowship with you and with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for today. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in these verses, John describes the premise or the basis for fellowship with God. And then he talks about sin and how sin affects our fellowship with God. And so we're going to go through these verses one by one and just see what God has to say. So the premise for having fellowship with God is found in verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." First John is saying here, this isn't my idea. These are the words that we heard from him. And we're telling you the words that we heard from him. You'll hear Dell and I a lot of times and say, "Don't blame me, we're just telling you what's in here." That's what John is saying. Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you some things, but hey, this is what he told me. So we're looking at the things that Jesus declared unto them. God is light. That's the premise for our fellowship. God is light. In many ways, that statement, God is light, is the whole book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, God is light, God is love, God is life. Those three main themes, but the overall theme of the book of 1 John is God is light. It includes a definition of God's character as well as implications of the way you and I are to live. God is light. It doesn't say God is a light. It doesn't say God is the light. It simply says God is light. Full stop. It wasn't a created light. God has always been and will always be, and God is light. The same way that in John 4:24 it says God is spirit. In 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is. Today we're looking at God is light. If God is light, and we are created in His image, then you and I need to be light. Now, we're not God. Don't take me wrong. You're not God, but you are created in His image. And if God is light, we need to be the light of the world. We need to be walking in the light. And that's the whole point of this first part of 1 John. If we want fellowship with God, we walk in the light. Now, just as light shows us where to go, God's Word is a light and shows us the path that God wants for us. Every now and then when I'm driving here at night, it really bothers me when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I see a flash of lights behind me, and you look up and there's nothing there because they're running down the 30 or the 40 at 160 with no lights on, but they're going to flash you every now and then to get out of the way. I don't know how they know where they're going because there's no light. I love to have a flashlight, a torch. I keep one by my bed so that I can see where I'm going. Same way, God's Word is a light. It shows us where to go. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your Word is light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I love that verse. Because I'm simple. I don't know about you, Dave, but I'm a simple country boy from southern part of the United States. But it doesn't matter your education level. God's Word gives understanding. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to walk in the light? It's found in here. And we need a daily dose of God's Word. And it says that God is light, and I like the flip side of that. In Him is no darkness at all. So the figure of darkness would represent the opposite of light. It's what's evil, unrighteousness, falsehood. None of that is in God because God is light. Therefore, I can never imagine any situation, any circumstance where my God would ever condone darkness in my life. Think about that. See, light and darkness are opposites. Which chases which? Does light chase darkness away, or does darkness chase light away? light always chases darkness. I've never had a darkness switch in my house. We have what? A light switch. You can walk into a room that's pitch dark, pitch black, turn on the light, and what happens? Immediately, the darkness flees. You turn the light off, the darkness comes back. But as long as the light is on, the darkness is held at bay. As long as you have the light in your life, the darkness can be held at bay. We need to make sure that we are fellowshipping with Him because God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. We cannot serve God who is light while continuing to dwell in the realm of darkness. You can't have one foot in the light and one foot in the world and expect God to bless you. Jesus says you're either for me or you are against me. God is pure light, and in Him there is no darkness. And if we try to live in the darkness, we are denying God's very character, because God is light. And then in verses 6 through 10, he says, we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness. And in this thing of verses 6 through 10, John is starting to give us some arguments or lay some claims concerning some false concepts that the Christians he was writing to had. And there's, I think, three or four of them here, these false concepts. The first one in verse 6 and 7, we have fellowship with God, yet we walk in darkness. If you say that you have fellowship with God and you walk in darkness, you lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Fellowship means having something in common, something that we gather around. And we have seen that God is light, He's good, He's righteous, He's truth, and walking in darkness would be going against everything that God stands for. To fellowship with God, we have to have something in common with Him. When I fellowship with you guys, it's because we have something in common. We have the Word. We have Jesus as our Savior, and we can fellowship together. So what is the result of such a claim? One commentary says it this way. If we say that we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, our words are false, we lie. And our deeds are false because we don't practice what is truth. So our words and our walk don't line up with what God wants us to do. See, we should be living in conformity to the truth of God's Word. We should be living in the light as God is light. And I love what it says in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another. Those in the light are joined together in fellowship with the primary guiding principle that Jesus is our guide. Jesus is the one we're following. Please, I hope there's no one here following me or Dell. If you are, you're in big trouble. Okay? I hope you're here following Jesus, and we will do our best to help you. But never get your eyes on us. Always get your eyes on Jesus. If you've ever gotten an email from me or a lot of times a WhatsApp message, I always sign them, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because that's so important in life. Never get your eyes on a man, because a man will let you down. I've seen big churches, mainly in America, that were personality cults almost. Everything was based on the pastor. Well-known, whatever. And then he falls, and half the congregation falls away from God. Why? Because their God has fallen. So I want to encourage you. Fellowship with one another, but keep your eyes on Jesus, please. Follow him as he walks in the light. So the first result is we have fellowship with one another. The second result is we are assured that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You can take the reverse of that. If you're walking in darkness, then the blood of Jesus is not cleansing us from all sin. Fellowship with God will always be characterized by walking in light, doing what is truth, and living as God desires. It doesn't take a very big light to be seen a long way. I've given this illustration before. I was in training in basic camp in the military, and they wanted to show us how dangerous it was to smoke at night. And we were out on this firing range, and about a mile away, they had a soldier sitting on top of a bunker. Pitch black, not a light in sight. And they said, we want to show you how you can give your position away by smoking. And this young guy way out there, over a mile away, lights a match, and you could see it out in the distance. And he lights a cigarette, puts the match out, and every time he would inhale and that cigarette would glow red, you could see it. And the drill sergeant said, if we were an enemy sniper and that was you, we would be sending a body bag and calling your mama, boy, to tell her what happened to you. That's the power of light. Such a small little thing as a match can be seen from a long way. A light is powerful. But I want to ask you today, think about tomorrow or Sunday when you show up at the office. Are you light or darkness in your office? Do you bring the light of Jesus with you? Or do you just fit in and mold in and blend in with the darkness of everybody else that's around you? If you want to have fellowship with God, we must live in the light. The second false claim that John comes against is found in verse 8 and 9, and that is, we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doing some study, it looked like in John's day, there was a group of people that said they didn't need a Savior because they had never sinned. They have no sin. Well, the consequence of such a claim is, number one, self-deceit. you deceive yourselves, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory. We all are sinners saved by grace. You know, that's our AA state, or our Christian, you know, Alcoholic Anonymous. They always get up, hello, my name is Steve. I'm an alcoholic that's been dry for X number of days or years or whatever. Oh, let me introduce myself to you. Hello, my name's Steve. I'm a sinner. I've been set free for now 41 years, 42 years. Amen. So we are all sinners saved by grace. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Instead, we should freely confess our sins to Him. Now, confession first is acknowledging sin. If you don't acknowledge that you've sinned, it's not confession. Because confession first must acknowledge the sin. Not acknowledge that there is sin. Not acknowledge that sin is wrong. But acknowledging that I have sinned. See, I know David sinned. And we can look at others and point fingers at others and, you know, say, oh, I know. But that's not confession. Is, no, I did it. Jesus hung on a cross because of my sin. Second, confession means that we know that God is light. And God's light is shining in the dark spots of our heart, and it is revealing things in us that we need to confess to Him so that He can forgive us. Third, when we confess our sins, we adopt a stance of dependence on God. God, I can't do it. God, I need You to take this away. You cannot overcome sin on your own. If you could, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. So we are dependent on God. That's what confession means. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. God's light is shining in my heart. I'm dependent on Him. And fourthly, confession implies a turning to God, a desire to conform ourselves to His character. So confession is the resource that brings our entire life into the conformity of God's will and in line with His word. So don't say we have no sin. And you say, okay, well, yeah, I've sinned, but not anymore. Verse 10, this is the third error. We have not sinned. If we confess our sin, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. See, if I say there is no sin, that sin doesn't exist. This is just all a big, what's the guy's name that does Tesla? Elon Musk. See, he believes that we're all just in a virtual reality and nothing in this world is real. And it's all like a big game. And there's these heavenly beings that are, you know, up there playing on their game boxes or whatever, and we're all just in this game and none of this is real. Well, sorry, he's wrong according to the word of God. So that's what saying there is no sin. that says that we are deceived and the truth isn't in us. But if we say that we have not sinned, that I have never sinned, then we make him a liar. See, this is a big issue of this whole thing with light and admitting that there's sin. If we deny sin, we're liars. If we say we have not sinned, then we say he's a liar. Because his word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fellowship with God does not occur by making claims that God is a liar. Let me just give you some advice. If you're going to call God a liar, don't say you have fellowship with him. Doesn't work too well, okay? And then in chapter 2, the last part of this, fellowship with God requires an advocate. We can't do it on our own, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. John is writing, and he says, little children, I write to you that you do not sin, or that you may not sin. That's John's desire. Pastor Dell and I come up here every week, and we preach and teach. And our desire, our hope is that none of you will ever sin again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we also are realists. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. So John's desire is that they would not sin, but he says, I understand that we do. And when we do, we need an advocate. We need Jesus to come along aside of us. The Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter, the Advocate. But here it is saying that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Jesus right now is in heaven praying for you and I. Scripture said that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Jesus is our advocate. Every Christian needs an advocate with the Father. It means a comforter, a helper, one who is called alongside. Listen to this. I read this in one commentary. Jesus Christ is the believer's defense counsel. The promise here is especially for the child of God who falls into sin. Realism demands that one recognize that Christians do fail, and everyone needs a friend to plead his cause. The holiest person never reaches a point where he does not need Jesus. You can go to church 24/7. You can pray 24/7. You can read scripture 24/7, but you will always need Jesus to intercede for you. You never get so holy that you don't need Jesus. Amen? We need him all day, every day, more and more. You're probably tired of hearing me say this, but I need him every time I get on the highway. That's my biggest issue in Kuwait, is drivers. If I'm going to lose it, it's going to be there. I don't mind standing in line for hours. But when I know I've got to get off in a mile, so what do? I get over, and I get over, and I get over. But I've realized here that's the wrong way to do it. You get all the way over in the fast lane, and just as you get to the exit, you right in front of everybody else. Or somebody told me last week they were on the 30 and the guy missed his exit, stopped and started backing up. It's at those times I need Jesus, because I know I just sinned. Because see, I want to be one of the sons of thunder at that moment. And Pastor Dale was preaching to me last week. He even said, and Pastor Steve, this one's just for you. Because they wanted to call fire down from heaven. Wouldn't that just, you know, maybe one of these days I'll get important enough that I have this big military escort before me and, you know, they shut the whole highway down for me to travel. But I don't think that'll ever happen. But anyway. So every time you see me get in the car, just pray for me. You know, don't let him lose it today. Amen. The mediator is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was worthy to die in the sinner's place. And his sacrificial death removes the threat of judgment, renders forgiveness, and is a reality for those who trust in him. So not only is he an advocate, but he is our propitiation. That word simply means to appease the offended one. So the advocate pleads our cause. It's like our defense attorney. The propitiation means that they do something that appeases the one that was offended. In a lot of heathen cultures, sacrifices are made to their gods to appease their gods so they don't do anything bad to them. But what is interesting is in the New Testament, it is God, not man, that gives the offering that appeases God. All over Africa, the places I've traveled in India, there's all these little worship areas where they go and they put food or different things, their sacrifices and their offerings to appease the God so that their wrath won't come upon them. But you and I didn't have to give an offering or a sacrifice to appease God. God sent his own sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Through the death on the cross, Jesus is the means by which God shows mercy to a sinner. So this explains how God can be just, demands payment for sin, but he also forgives that sin because he paid the penalty. While advocate conveys the idea of a mediating friend, propitiation carries the thought of pacifying an offended one. So in Christ, there is both forgiveness and purity restored. We sinned, we're dirty from sin. Jesus comes, he cleanses us from our sin with his precious blood and makes us pure enough that we can now come into the presence of the Father. I was at a life group the other night and somebody, it was you guys' life group, and I don't know who gave the illustration that they had heard of a guest speaker that was coming into this conference, and everybody was so excited for this guy to come. But just before the conference started, this homeless guy that smelled really bad, dirty, nasty, came in, and nobody would talk to him. They kind of put him in the back and, you know, kind of shunned him. And the pastor got up and introduced the guest speaker. And this dirty, smelly, homeless guy gets up and walks down the aisle of the church and got on the platform and started preaching about having compassion on people not quite like you. Think about it. You know, we need to make sure that we are walking in the light, that there is forgiveness of sins and there is purity. Doesn't matter what our clothes are like or how we smell or how we look. It's the heart. I think there's something in the Bible about that. I think it was maybe Samuel that was looking for the king, and all of the big sons of Jesse came through and none of them met, and this little runny guy out keeping the sheep came through, and God says, man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart. So God is just, but God still forgives sin. We must walk in the light as He is in the light. So in this first chapter of 1 John, and then even carrying into the second chapter, John makes it clear that the basis of fellowship with God is walking in the light. And if we walk in the light and have fellowship with God, our joy will be full. Now, our joy can be full whether our bank account is full or empty. Our joy can be full whether we have a job or don't, because our joy comes from fellowshipping with God, not stuff. Stuff can make us happy, but that's not joy. Sometimes happiness is a counterfeit for God's true joy. To have fellowship with God, we who are Christians must, one, not walk in darkness, but walk in the light. Number two, if we want to have fellowship with God, we must admit that we have sinned and we need Jesus. And number three, it goes along with that. We must utilize the advocate whom God provides as the propitiation for our sin. Jesus gives the gift, but we have to be willing to take it. If we want to fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. So let me just ask you a few application questions. Is your life characterized by light or darkness? Or maybe you're not completely light or complete. Maybe you're dawn or dusk. I don't know. But think about that. Is your life characterized by light or darkness? Do you seek opportunities to enjoy fellowship with God? Or are other things more important? Do you claim to be without sin? I've never met anybody like that. There may be people out there, but I've met some like this that consider sin as unimportant. Sometimes in Christianity, we have this idea that it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. Because we know if we ask God for permission to do something, He's going to say no. And we want to do it anyway, so we're just going to do it. And then when we do it, we'll ask Him for forgiveness. Y'all are all looking at me like none of you've ever done that. Or you're looking at me like that because you're convicted that you do that, just like I do sometimes. We do it. But we need to ask God to get us to the place to where we do what he has called us to do. Do you struggle against sin? And we all could say yes. But if you struggle against sin, here's the question. Do you confess it and forsake it when it happens? Or do you revel in it and enjoy it? Do you continue to feel guilty about the sin that you have genuinely confessed and forsaken? If so, ask Jesus to help you. It's finished. It's covered. It's under the blood. It's over. Fellowship with God is walking in the light. Light comes from this. We need to know it. And I used to say you need to study it. But I got an article not long ago from a guy that said he was trying to do a word search on study in the Bible. And he said he found out there's very few places that it talks about studying the Bible. Talks a lot about meditating in it and thinking about, you know, pondering it. But to study it, we need it. But more than studying, we need to read it, meditate upon it, and then do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for this time. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the book of 1 John, such a short little book, but so powerful. God, I thank you that you are light. And when you turn the light of your word on our lives, all the little critters that are hiding in the darkness come out and scatter. And Father, I ask that you would help us today as we just spend some time in the rest of this day meditating on your word, thinking about what we've heard, that Father, you will show us the areas of darkness in our lives. It could be as simple as getting upset on the highways or laughing at that off-color joke that's told in the office or at the workplace, or taking a look at someone of the opposite sex in a way that's not appropriate. But Father, we just ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit and by your word, that you would reveal to us if there is any darkness within us, because we want to walk in the light as you are in the light, because our desire is, Father, to have fellowship with you and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then, Father, to have fellowship one with another, with our brothers and our sisters. And we know that if we're walking in darkness, we don't have that fellowship, but we desire the fellowship. And Father, we are so grateful that you sent your Son Jesus to be our propitiation, to be the sacrifice for our sin that appeased your righteousness, and that also he is the advocate, our defense attorney that comes before your very throne of mercy and grace. And he has given us his cloak of righteousness, that we can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It gives us access to the Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand for the benediction, please? And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and from evermore. And may you go from this place with the peace that passes all understanding, ruling and reigning in your hearts. And may you walk in the light
as he is in the light. In Jesus' name, amen.